From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone. You're very welcome to our Gospel program. Thank you for joining with us. We feature a new testimony in our program. It's that of Jim Palmer of Portavogie. He was a fisherman, and he has a wonderful story to tell of his meeting with Christ, the fisher of men. He will introduce himself in the first extract from his testimony. Of course, we offer the full tape of Jim's testimony to all who request it. And remember, you may still request the little booklet, The Coming of the Son of Man, which we have been offering free over the last few weeks. I hope to hear from you then, requesting both these items. We're going to be taking up the study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith once again. We're coming to the end of this study, and the final topic that we're looking at is the inspiration of the Word of God. I have been setting forth reasons why I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Tonight the reason I will set before you is the fulfilled prophecies of the Bible. But before we come to that study, here's the first extract from Jim Palmer's testimony.
The little fishing village of Portavogie lies in the most easterly point in Ireland. If you didn't know that before, you know it now. It was originally founded by five Scottish fishing families sometime in the 1800s, hence the accent. It has indeed a rich heritage of biblical religion and the Ulster Scots way of life. We have a very large selection of churches in Portavogie. There are two brethren assemblies, a Methodist church, three Presbyterian churches, a Church of Ireland, a little mission hall, and last but not least, the good old Free Presbyterian Church. And it was into this type of background that I was born on the 16th of February, 1958. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but as a boy I was faithfully sent along to Sunday school and morning worship in the local Presbyterian church where my family worshipped. And there, through faithful Sunday school teachers, I was told of my need to be saved. You see, my grandparents on my mother's side were saved, and they never missed church every Sunday. And my sister and myself were always sent along with them. Used to hate Sunday mornings. You had to go away every Sunday morning with your granny and granda, and you had to sit in the church. And I absolutely hated it. And they always sat in the back row. I don't know what it is about the back row, but they always made for the back row and sat there. And I used to spend the hour counting the women's hats. It shows you the way some things change in churches over the year. But that was the way I spent the morning, just to count two blue hats, three red hats, and all that sort of thing. No interest whatsoever. But my mother became a Christian when we were just children. And there was always a strong Christian influence on my mother's side of the family, and I thank God for that. You know, even though I didn't know it at the time, people were praying for me to be saved. Well, our parents were very good to us. They gave us everything that they could, and they brought us up to fear and respect the things of God. And that's how I grew up in the teenage years. At the age of 16, I joined the local band, and I would say that that was one of the worst moves I ever made in my life, because I started to drink, and we started to go to band contests every week, and on the way home we used to stop and everybody got drink on the bus and everybody was drunk. And then something happened which stirred me. My best friend went right through school together, every class. He got a motorbike and he went away one night and he got drunk and he was killed on the motorbike. And you know, that grieves me, even yet, when I think about that. It really grieves me. I can't speak for him, but I could speak for myself, and if it had been me, I know where I would have been tonight. But you know, it made me think, but it didn't deter me.
Please remember that the full testimony of Jim Palmer is on tape and is available free. Please request it from us. Let's take up again the study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. We're looking at the reasons why I believe the Bible is the Word of God, the inspired and infallible revelation of God unto men. So far, we have considered first that the indestructibility of the Bible testifies to its divine origin. Every engine of opposition has been mounted against the Bible, but it remains unscathed, undented, undamaged, because it is the Word of God. We have considered the unity of the books of the Bible, how that despite the fact that they come from the pen of men of differing mental abilities and intellectual levels and social standing, they all wrote the same truth. There is no contradiction. Their theme is one, even Christ. Now, the third reason why we believe the Bible is the inspired and infallible Word of God is the fulfilled prophecy of the Bible. The Bible is unique. Hundreds of years, and in some cases over 1,000 years, before certain events took place, the Bible made precise predictions concerning those events. No other sacred book ventured to make such predictions. The Bible is the only book which dared to stake its claim to divinity on the accuracy of its prophecies. In the following passage in Isaiah, God challenges the idol gods of the heathen to predict future happenings. Isaiah chapter 41, the verses 21 to 23. God says, "Produce your cause, bring forth your strong reasons, saith the king of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they did, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together." In contrast to the weakness of the idols, God declares his omnipotence. Isaiah 46 verse 10 reads, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." The fulfilled prophecy amply demonstrate the truth of this statement of Jehovah. We can only consider one prophecy concerning Christ, the great prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. This prophecy was uttered many hundreds of years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even a casual examination of the precise details of the prophecy and their exact fulfillment in the sufferings of Christ cannot but impress the candid reader. Our Lord has not only predicted in great prophecies, but the characters, institutions, ceremonies, offerings, and feasts of the Old Testament are also prophetical. These types all point to Christ. Dr. R. A. Torrey, the great Bible teacher, once said, "The modern critical theories regarding the construction of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy go all to pieces when considered in the light of the meaning of the types of the Old Testament. I have never known a destructive critic that knew anything to speak of regarding the types. One cannot study them thoroughly without being profoundly convinced that the real author of the Old Testament, back of the human authors, is God." The court chaplain of Frederick the Great, King of Prussia, was asked by his royal master to prove the inspiration of the Scripture in a word. He answered, "Your Majesty, the Jews." The Jewish race is the living monument to every generation that the Bible is the book of God. Take, for example, the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. Here we have predicted by Moses the tragic history of the rebellious Jewish nation. "The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favour to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. The Roman power is here clearly indicated by Moses, although that power had not yet come into being. Notice the mention of the eagle, the very symbol of imperial Rome. The invader was to be of a tongue unknown to the Jews. History affirms that the Jews were ignorant of the Latin language. The wars of the Jews, with their many terrible sieges, fulfill in every detail the awful predictions here made. The return of the Jews to Egypt as slaves, whom no one wanted to purchase, was also fully realized. Those Jews who did not perish in the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70 were shipped to Egypt. There, some were sent to the mines to labor constantly until they died. Others were sold into slavery. Josephus, the Jewish historian, records that 100,000 slaves glutted the markets of Egypt. Hence the prophecy of Moses was fulfilled to its last detail, "No man shall buy thee." After even only a brief consideration of the field of fulfilled prophecy, the divinity of the Bible is remarkably demonstrated. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. The whole purpose of this infallible record is that you might read it, believe it, and be saved. John wrote in his Gospel, in the last verse of chapter 20, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The message of God in his word is, repent and believe the gospel. God's word, the eternal seed, is the source of life for the sinner. And I would urge you, dear listener, to heed its message to your soul. May you believe it and trust it tonight. God bless you. Please remember to send for the free copy of the tape of Jim Palmer's testimony, and thus help to spread the gospel message. Join with us again next week around God's Word. Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.